Continuing. This same unit of gold was still being used by the 12th Sonderkommando. The goldsmiths did not have any crucible of a smaller diameter, so there was no way for them to make a smaller coin. In the crematoriums, an object had no value in the ordinary sense of the term. Anyone who paid for something with gold had already paid with his life the day he entered here. But the person who gave something in exchange for gold doubly risked his neck. Once when he brought the articles that were hard to come by, even on the outside, through the SS barricades and checkpoints, and again on his return trip, carrying the gold he had received in payment. For both coming in and leaving, one was always searched. On its way out, the gold was carried in a Sonderkommando man's pocket, as far as the crematorium gate. There it changed hands. The man carrying the gold approached the SS guard on duty and exchanged a few words with him. The latter turned and sauntered away from the gate. On the section of railway track that passed in front of the crema, a team of from 20 to 25 Poles was working. At a sign from the Sonderkommando man, their work boss arrived with a folded sack and took the gold, which was wrapped in paper. So the sack containing the desired articles was safely inside the crematorium. The Sonderkommando man entered the guardhouse, which was near the gate. He took about 100 cigarettes and a bottle of brandy from the sack. The SS trooper entered and quickly pocketed both the bottle and cigarettes. He was, of course, extremely pleased, for the SS received only 2 cigarettes a day and no alcohol at all. And yet both were indispensable here. The SS guards drank and smoked heavily. So did the Sonderkommando. My interjection here. This juncture, where we sit, calls for us to admit that hierarchy necessarily leads to this, a focus narrowly on function for those pushed down low. We commoners, while in those placed, quote unquote, above, the so-called statesmen, or so-called philosopher king statesmen. In them is placed the illusion of chosenness, of superior intelligence, an illusion-spun arrogance that's cruel and distant. And our tendency as human beings to geniality cannot comprehend this mindset of the children of abandonment. And they take this as a sign of our weakness and as a rationale for why we need to be mistreated, because in their minds, we must be stupid to care about each other, because no one is supposed to care about anybody else, are they? Nobody cared about them. Only when they perform to perfection, and we commoners obviously can't do that. We're obviously imperfect. We can't even realize we're being duped. Thus the rationale goes. Thus the lies they tell themselves flow. This mindset of the children of abandonment see us as but qualities of service to them. They, the superior beings. And we're going to have to... You know, it's interesting coming up. We're never encouraged to read, just the opposite, Hitler's Mein Kampf. But since reading excerpts from it, I mean, really, it's no different from reading Plato. The best should rule. We need to understand this. This isn't a mindset of some past. It's living all around us. And because they have They've been planning and have so many resources. They've been inordinately successful, given their numbers, this tiny, tiny few who desperately want to believe that they are superior beings, and therefore that it's a legitimate hierarchy, and that our most appropriate use is for us to serve them. And then once you convert hierarchy into some necessary for progress, atomization does the rest. If we had a legitimate process called education, we would be scrutinizing a mindset called hierarchy that obviously divides and hurts us. It could not be clearer we are being trained, not educated.